Welcome to IPC's podcast, Global Electronics, The Art of the Possible. I'm John Mitchell, podcast host and president and CEO of IPC, the global association that helps manufacturers build electronics better through proven standards, certification and training, advocacy, and industry intelligence. Digital technologies are transforming manufacturing and creating the fourth industrial revolution in an increasingly interconnected and globalized world. We need to start talking about the policy, sustainability, network, and workforce adoptions integral to developing the factory of the future. We want to take a broad look at some of the opportunities and challenges of creating and running the factory of the future and talk one-on-one with the industry leaders and pioneers in manufacturing and management. Join us in exploring the factory of the future. We're here with Shane Whiteside, President and CEO of Summit Interconnect. Hey, Shane, John. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's great to be with you.
So we're talking about the factory of the future. And let me just jump right in and share a couple of thoughts with you and like to hear what you have to say about it. So one of the things is, so we have a lot of veteran manufacturers in the industry, and they've built their business and factories on proprietary systems and processes. It's believed that they can't quickly and easily upgrade their plants. So given that statement, how do you feel this kind of situation has impacted the PCB industry?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, I think the first thing to do is to think about the recent history of the PCB industry. It was a growing industry up until 2000, and it went through almost two decades of decline. You know, a lot of it's just sort of geoeconomic shifting around. So PCB manufacturing really hasn't been challenged to build the factory of the future or to really meaningfully expand capacity. There's been almost the opposite challenges with maintaining healthy businesses. But that said, the last 3 years, businesses are growing. I mean, IPC maintains a robust set of statistics that give us confidence that business is improving. It's something that we see in our own in our own backlogs. So it's something where it's sort of literally have to change our mindset that we've evolved into over the last 20 years. So, back many years ago, we all thought that we had something special inside our four walls that was proprietary to us and all that. But I think as the standards have developed and technology has become and design rules have become more harmonized, and, among OEMs, we're sort of faced with the same set of challenges across the board. So we're here, looking at equipment side by side with our competitors. Maybe we talk a little bit about, hey, what do you see here? Do you like this? And things like that. And so I think there's a little bit more of an understanding that there really isn't a lot that's proprietary with, in terms of knowledge, tribal knowledge, any of that. And we all have the same challenge, but we all feel like it's in the context of larger opportunities for growth. So as we look forward, I think adoption of getting together with our customers and adopting standard understandings of, how to make designs for optimal yields, how to, do stack-ups for optimum reliability, what sort of tests for reliability, for construction integrity and things of that nature that we can all mutually agree on. I think that's, we have made a lot of progress that way. Progress is going to continue.
So as you've had these discussions, et cetera, have you been able to find ways to utilize the existing investments to then meet those same needs? Or have you also found that there's a challenge with that and you still have to look at capital investments to try to overcome some of those as well, even though it's common amongst the industry?
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. To answer your question and to carry on my prior thought and to give an example, HDI hosts an HDI microvia reliability conference, and that's a great opportunity for OEMs, fabricators, test labs, everybody to come together and understand the implications of, a 6 mm microvia versus a 4 mm microvia and things of that nature. Gotcha. So as we all meet like that, we all develop kind of understanding together, the less these sort of thoughts of having a proprietary, a proprietary secret approach that give you an advantage, those dissipate. I mean, that said, we do invest going forward, that's where we do think, the certain investments would give us a little bit of advantage. So learning how to use the existing equipment set and improve processes on the one hand is good, but then making future investments, going forward is it informs us in how we make those investments going forward and that's where we try to get a little bit of a competitive advantage.
Very good. Let me shift directions on you a little bit here and give you another question. So the factory of the future will likely link cybersecurity and physical security. What kind of security measures is or should the industry be taking to keep data and factories secure?
Well, I mean, security is an extremely important topic. I mean, just for basically, at the most basic level, just protection of our customers' IP. We're our customers' manufacturing partners. And with that partnership, there has to be trust that their hard work and their innovation when they partner with a company like us or any of their PCB fabricators, that that innovation is going to be secure and that they don't lose anything by partnering with any of us. In the North American PCB fabricator base, many of us have adopted the NIST 800-171 cybersecurity standard for compliance. It's been flowed down to us contractually by a lot of our customers. And that's a great a great standard to follow because it lays out all of the the architecture, the access, the authentication.
So it's covering both the physical, the human aspect of it, as well as the digital aspect of it.
Yes, it is. And then just the basic physical plant security at the perimeters with badge access and visitor controls, things of that nature are important. But also. What we do with the data, I mean, if we can keep it all, we're not plotting artworks anymore because we're direct imaging everything, so that's one thing that we don't have to worry about. But if we scrap interlayers or anything like that, how do we assure that scrap, even though it's only an interlayer with two images on each side, that still is a piece of design that we have to ensure that that's disposed of correctly and in a manner that, that's just one example, in a manner that, keeps that security integrity, going. So
you've been in the industry a few years. You've seen large companies, medium-sized companies, smaller companies, et cetera. If you're going to advise a business, say somebody comes up to you here at the show at Apex and says, "Hey, Shane, I'm just getting started in the business. What should I do to succeed?" What advice would you give them, or then how can those organizations measure their impact or success?
Yeah, so I'd a lot of it starts with the most basic thing, and what we're doing is much more than just delivering a cardboard box with product in it. Okay, we really are. I used the term manufacturing partner before. I think that we've evolved in our market space to deliver value on multiple fronts. So it's not just building the product.
It's not just the product quality and on time.
It's how consistent and reliable our internal processes. How do we support our customers? If it's participating with them in a bid for them to bid to win business. If it's doing the design for manufacturability support. If it's doing stack ups, recommending materials. If it's going in. Sending our, our designer people, our field applications people in to school their designers, give them a refresher training on manufacturability for printed circuit boards. And on the back end, how we can support questions on, post-shipment on certain products and things that we ship. It's just being a full spectrum manufacturing partner. And somebody, if we do our job correctly, our customers consider us just to be an extension of their own team.
Right. So obviously you have to take care of the product you're contracted to build, but then what I'm hearing is that you're saying, okay, to really be successful in this business, you're making sure your customer's successful. Mm-hmm. What's the role for government? How can government help the industry be more successful, what role should they play?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think we probably can look around the world and see different roles that governments do play in promoting, or even curating, industries, depending on the continent that you're on. In some instances, really sort of disincentivizing growth in industries or really impeding growth in industries. So I think a lot of it has to do, the easy thing to talk about is taxes,
sure.
To understand. So, but the next level thing, I think that governments can do is regulations, common sense regulations that don't impede an industry or companies in a particular industry on a particular continent, relative to their competitors on another continent.
So having more consistent regulatory
Yes.
Across the globe.
Nobody wants lead in their groundwater.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, nobody. It doesn't matter what continent you're
That's
on.
That's right.
So I think that to put more onerous regulations for lead reporting and things mm-hmm. of that nature on one continent that somebody on another continent, their competitors on another continent don't have to abide by, just to give one example, is something that I think...
It's a disincentive for you to go to that country.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or to manufacture in that country.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think governments should understand that, what they're doing to their own industry with regulations. And, it's just be a little bit more thoughtful. And then understand that in North America in particular, what the North, U.S. government can be doing is understanding that if they do want a base of, I'll speak for the PCB industry, if they do want a base of PCB fabricators that are healthy, that want to continue to invest and continue to invest in technologies so mm-hmm. that U.S. customers, U.S. OEM customers can continue to grow and be able to source their boards onshore. I would encourage them to look at what other countries are doing. The biggest geography for printed circuit boards is in China, and mm-hmm. China made a decision a long time ago. Governments in China at various levels made a decision a long time ago that they want to grow the PCB industry in China, and they've taken a very active role in cultivating that growth. And nobody's skirted regulations or anything.
It's also not a mystery. Yeah. They made this public. We're going to go do this, so companies knew to come.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And they've sort of proactively facilitated growth in many different levels. And the entire time, I think that they've been relatively vigilant about their, environmental regulations and things of that nature. And I just would encourage our government to just, look around. look around the rest of the world and see what's working. In other countries.
Yeah, it's not like we have to invent the wheel necessarily if the wheel's already working somewhere else.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, and the other thought that occurred to me as you're sharing that, I thought, just like we're trying to get industry to communicate better, if governments were communicating better about these mm-hmm. regulatory pieces as opposed to saying, this is our thing and you shall follow what we say, I think that would help as well.
Again, we all want to breathe clean air anywhere That's we stand
right.
on the planet.
That's right.
And we all, nobody wants lead in their drinking water. Everybody wants to live in a clean environment.
Exactly.
We all have the same goals.
So for my final question, what do you think we as an industry should be talking about, but we aren't?
I think even outside the PCB industry, but particularly in the PCB industry in North America, we really need to recognize the aging demographic of our entire workforce, and particularly the technical folks that have the brain share that we depend on our organizations. There's been a lack of new engineering talent. Now this is in previous years. I'm encouraged at the trend in just the last couple of years. Once we all started getting confidence about 3 years ago that there is a growth path ahead now. This is good. So I think many of us, my other friends in the industry and other companies we're all sort of doing the same thing. We're partnering with universities, trying to hire, new graduates, trying to hire people exiting the military. And I'm really inspired by just what we saw yesterday at the luncheon, just the IPC Emerging Engineer Program going from
amazing.
That was a pilot project last year. Now it's a full-scale 30 young engineers, all less than 1 year, in the industry. Having mentors and a structured program that IPC is facilitating, I think that's incredibly exciting. I'd like to see that continue to scale. And at an individual company level, I know us and other companies, again, are dedicating to that. And we know that we have to do this because I kind of joked around with a few of my colleagues. Look, I'm not going to let you retire until we train up two young people. To replace you.
Yeah, that's great.
But that's something that I don't think is being talked about as openly as like you and I are talking about now.
Okay.
But I think it's something that just warrants, our continued focus and
keep our eye on the ball there. And
yeah, exactly. And I'm really glad to see IPC stepping out in front, with that, and also the partnering with universities as mm-hmm. well. We're sponsoring a chapter at UC Irvine, and I think you guys have shown great success in partnering with these universities. I'm looking forward to see what that yields for the industry.
Thank you. So are we. So I want to thank Shane Whiteside for giving us a look into what the factory of the future holds and how we can prepare. I really appreciate your thoughts and participating, your time. You can find more information on the factory of the future and other electronics industry news at ipc.org.